This is Wandering in the Word, where you can listen in as the staff of First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota, has a casual conversation about the scripture readings for the upcoming Sunday worship service.
Welcome to Wandering in the Word for Sunday, August 8th. We are talking about the bread of life. Now, this might sound familiar after last week and the week before, and it will again next week and the week after that. But here we are, the rich topic of the bread of life, moving through John's gospel. And this time we find ourselves in chapter 6 and some more teachings from Jesus.
Yeah, we get a carb heavy meal yet again. Right. Hopefully nobody's on a low carb diet in August.
Not keto friendly.
Not keto friendly. No, probably better bread than some of the stuff we buy in the grocery store, though.
Oh, true. For sure.
Yeah, but all right. Well, should we dive in?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Melissa, you want to read the gospel?
Yes. John chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who had heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, there you go. Makes sense.
Yeah, got it all figured out.
Does it?
I appreciate I guess this is the crowd talking still. I think it's who we had last week too. They're kind of saying, wait. You're the bread of heaven that has come down from heaven? Like, no. We know your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how you can't go saying you like floated down from heaven, which must have been what they're picturing. And then Jesus kind of goes on to ignore that and just be like, well, you know, nobody can come to me unless they're drawn by the Father, and you know, just kind of goes on his exposition. I mean, he kind of answers it, but not really,
and not as directly as I'm sure they had hoped, nor as we hope. But instead of answering that question, telling us the answer to perhaps a better question, and still leaving us with lots more questions.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because we're basically reading the John chapter 6, you know, these last few weeks.
Piece by piece.
And every week the crowd comes with some questions. Like last week, I think there was three questions. Like, how did you get here? Like, where did you, right. What's going on? Like, how do we get this bread?
What signs are you doing?
Yeah. What are you going to show us? And then here they are. And they're like, you know, how can you say this, that you've come down from heaven? And then Jesus goes on, you know, to say all this about, you know, eternal life and believing and having, receiving this bread of life. I think even in a couple weeks, I don't think it's next week, but in 2 weeks, we get the even weirder one where Jesus starts saying, yeah, you just got to eat my flesh.
Yeah, if you don't drink my blood, you don't really have a place.
People are like, this is hard teaching, Jesus.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
So we're kind of building up to that. Like, he's like easing them into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to give you the bread of life. You know, and that's me. And then he's saying, you know, that I've come down from heaven, and they're like, this is weird.
Yeah. And there's still, I mean, as kind of bizarre as these teachings sound, there's still that touch point in verse 49, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. So appealing back to their experience, their tradition, like familiar stories, and saying, and kind of building on that, saying like, this is kind of like that, but not, because that was not eternal bread. This is leveling up, people. This is God providing for you in a whole new way. Mm-hmm. And, but that piece is still there. So I kind of appreciate that, so that it's not like this guy is coming way out of left field.
Yeah. Well, and a couple of weeks ago we had the feeding the 5,000, this tangible thing where they actually ate the bread. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that was cool. But this, like, what God is doing here is even more amazing and more long lasting than having your fill one day. Mm-hmm. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. And here it is again. This was last week too, that world, John, the Gospel of John, John 3:16, obviously, for God so loved the world. There is a great concern that this is bigger than just you all sitting here listening to me teach. This is a big deal. This is like global phenomenon, mm-hmm. bread kind of thing.
And universal, I bet he would have said, if John would have known anything about, the universe. But I mean, because at the very beginning, it's this of John's gospel. It's the beginning of like all creation. Like that's the scope that John is thinking of when he writes all of this down and quotes Jesus as being here in the world for the sake of the world. And that includes everybody.
Yeah. John 1:5, Jesus, I'm the light of the world. It's actually, I think, really cool to think, 2000 years ago, their world was significantly smaller than what we understand the world. Like they weren't even, I don't even think they really thought the world was like circular at that time. I mean, nobody really knew. They knew there's sky. They didn't know what that meant.
They knew the Roman Empire was big.
The Roman Empire was all that mattered, because they kind of ruled with an iron fist. And yet, when we read it now, we can kind of expound upon the world, mm-hmm. understand it. Because, we have the internet. we know all kinds of things about this world. And these words are still true. Like watching the Olympics or whatever. This is the world is big. And God, this bread is not just for us and Minot or... wherever we're reading it, this is for the world, life for the world.
There's another phrase in here that I thought was so interesting. I'm the living bread in verse 51, because we say scripture is the living word, that it kind of keeps speaking to us in mm-hmm. times and places. And we talk about living water and sometimes with regard to baptism and living bread, that is just another kind of puzzle piece for me. And it makes me just wonder a little bit, what does bread that's alive?
Yeah. Can vegetarians eat that then? I don't know.
I mean, when I think living bread, I'm thinking like a sourdough starter that's growing and bubbling and moving and alive. But obviously you don't eat the sourdough starter. You bake that out and, but I'm the living bread and, the living bread gives life. I mean, just interesting kind of new realm to think about as far as life.
Well, and it is like life giving, mm-hmm. right? It's not, I'm the bread of damnation or I'm not the bread of judgment or wrath. I'm the bread of life. Like that's kind of who we claim God to be, right? In the grace and mercy. And how do we know this? Well, we, as Lutherans in particular, we always talk about seeing through Christ, and Christ is this bread of life. That's good news. I think for us is, in our own doubts and questions and fears and uncertainties that, we have bread for us, not bread that's against us.
The bread's on our side.
Bread is on our side. Unless you're on that keto diet, then bread, that's a little harder, but
it's harder to take this literally that way. But, and basically to going back to what you had said, these really are all these questions that the crowd comes up with. They really are all trying to get at what is the identity of Jesus and what is Jesus revealing to us about the identity of God and what does that mean for us? And so maybe bread is the best way to get at those big giant questions and deep theological truths that we're just maybe not quite wired to comprehend fully, but bread we get.
Yeah.
Mostly. We mostly get that.
Mostly. Yeah. As a concept we can gather. Well, we have more bread.
Of course we do.
In the Bible. So we have our Old Testament reading Pastor Brandy, would you like to read that?
Oh, I would love to. This is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. It's verses 4 through 8. This is about Elijah. Is that right?
Yeah.
There's no name in here. You just got to know these things. But Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What an interesting little episode.
Yeah. I feel like this was a meme whenever this text comes around. What is it? Do you know?
Sometimes you just need to take a nap and eat a snack and something like that. Don't give up. Take a nap, eat a snack.
Good advice.
This is God-ordained advice right there for you.
Well, and you know, I mean, right before this is that story of Elijah on the mountain going against the priests of Baal and, you know, casting down fire for a great barbecue. And then he, and then, I mean, the part we don't always hear in Sunday school, he goes, they slaughter all of the priests of Baal, and then he, which makes the queen mad, and she's coming after him. And so he flees, like he has this kind of mountaintop experience, not the slaughtering, hopefully, but, you know, this great experience of God coming through and showing up, and then he flees and is like super down.
Yeah.
You know,
right. It's not like the yay victory. It's like, oh gosh, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to die.
Yeah. Kind of dramatic, but I mean, like, but on like a human level, like, I mean, not to, I mean, suicide, that kind of thought, you know, we can kind of laugh at that, you know, I just want to die, but like mental health. I mean, like from what we know now versus 4,000 years ago when the story took place, a real thing, depression, anxiety, all those kinds of things are real, you know. But even if we're, you know, on a less severe case, I mean, we've all had days where we're down,
ready to give up,
struggled, feeling like, you know, nothing's going to change. This is for just in on a wheel or something, you know.
Right. Or there's no way forward for me now. All these people are seeking my life to take it away. And, you know, what could possibly happen next except bad things? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of get where he's coming from maybe, but it's interesting to me that this is not a crisis of faith.
Right.
You know, he's just seen this huge demonstration of God's power and presence and is speaking to God. And so that's not part of it. Sometimes I think for us, that's a pretty serious crisis, but not the case in this situation.
Yeah. He's just down. And I was reading some like science thing about our sleep and how like sleep is really like, for a lot of people, like a processing tool, like dreams and all that kind of stuff. And so it's like when we sleep, our brain kind of defragments the day and whatever we're feeling and whatever emotions we're having. And so like for a lot of people, that's kind of like a coping mechanism almost. Like when they just so things are so overwhelming, you just take a nap because it gives your brain a chance.
Restorative.
So maybe that's what he just needed, you know, and then a snack as well to keep him going, but kind of a little time to process all the events of the day, maybe.
And I mean, also nice to note that God didn't leave him alone in this state of downness and being overwhelmed and whatever, that the angel came not once, but twice, kind of guiding him forward toward health and on a new mission. And, you know, he's sort of guided through this crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, he must be feeling like there's just too much. Like this is never ending. Like I did this great feat, and now I'm, you know, I might die because of this, of what I did, and never going to end. So I just quit. And yeah, I think about that. I mean, that kind of feels like all this. I mean, the pandemic, right? I mean, you know, as soon as we think we're getting out of it, that there's variance and things change, and struggling to keep up that persistence and care for each other and care for neighbor in the midst of everything going on. It's like, I just need to like lay down and take a nap. A little social isolation, maybe, which isn't a bad idea during a pandemic, maybe, you know. but yeah, he got up, and I mean, I've never eaten anything that's given me strength for 40 days and 40 nights.
Nor I, no.
My hunch is that might be more symbolic with, all of the different 40 days of the flood and Jesus' temptation, all these, it's kind of a symbolic time, but.
Yes, that he was traveling through the wilderness to get to his destination. Did he know why he was going there? Or he's just like, well, here I go.
Here I go.
Off to Mount Horeb.
Seems like as good a place as any. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I'd have to read the whole story if there was some reason he was going there. I do not recall.
But those are some strong cakes baked on hot stones too.
Just to throw out a Lord of the Rings reference.
Naturally.
The elves gave the Fellowship of the Ring people a lambda bread, which was supposed to be like one bite would fill you for like a whole day and give you like energy and that the elves made. And so maybe.
I don't think it's a far stretch to think that Tolkien and some of these authors are drawing on these stories and images that have sort of shaped their imaginations over their years as they.
Yeah. So, it's been a little while since I've thrown out a Lord of the Rings reference. I was way overdue. But any closing thoughts on bread and naps and snacks?
They're all good.
They're all good.
Eat your snacks.
Thumbs up. Yep.
Yeah. You have permission to take a nap, have a good snack. Rest a little. I mean, Sabbath. I think that's can all be. We don't rest well, that's for sure. In our culture, if we like frown upon anybody who rests, it seems like not producing and you're not contributing. So, thanks for everyone's thoughts on bread. If you have thoughts on bread, we'd love to hear them in the comments as well. Thank you for joining us for. Our Wandering in the Word for August 8th. And for Pastor Brandy and Melissa, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you.